God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 35. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 7. James chapter 1, verse 7. You will see this verse on the screen before you. You will see it also on last Sunday's bulletin. So I trust that you will have either last Sunday's bulletin, or you will be able to see from where you're sitting the verse that's on the screen tonight, which is James 1:7. Studying God's Word is a wonderful, wonderful, magnificent treat for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us a system where we can comprehend truth. We call that system the grace system of comprehension. That simply means that when we are in harmony and fellowship with the Lord, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, that God gives us then the ability to understand His wonderful Word. We cannot really understand God's Word properly if our hearts are not in proper relationship to our Savior Jesus Christ. So for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. I'd like to ask you, if you will, please, in this time of prayer, to remember those of our church family who are physically ill, and also pray for our missionaries. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunities of grace, to grow in grace, to advance spiritually. We realize that our Lord has said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. These years that we have on this earth are extremely brief, even though we're aware of the fact that some may live many, many years on this earth. But when we compare however many years we may have to eternity, it's a very brief time. And so help us to understand that while we're here, every day that we have is a gift from your grace, and we're to take advantage of it and grow and advance spiritually. Tonight we would pray again for those of our church family who are physically ill. There are those who have various problems and difficulties. We ask your blessings upon them. Tonight we thank you for our missionaries, and we do pray for them also. We realize that they have oftentimes challenges as they face the various issues of life from day to day. We pray for them. We pray for our military men and women. We thank you for our freedom. And we thank you for the fact that there have been those who in the past have laid down their lives for this freedom. And we thank you for all of those who, even at this very moment in various places around this world, are willing to stand up for what they believe is right in relationship to our great nation. Help us to appreciate this magnificent freedom that we have. We ask again that these moments will be for all of us very profitable moments as we open our hearts to these spiritual truths. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems that I always hate to leave a verse of Scripture. And last Sunday we looked at verse 7. At the first service we dealt with the subject of faith that unlocks the storehouse. In the second service we looked at the subject unbelief bars the doors. Tonight we look at thinking divorced from reality. Back in the same verse, James 1:7. We're reading now, beginning with verse 1, from James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to Jewish Christians scattered everywhere, greetings. Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy. For when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. Verse 4, so let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete. If you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him. He will gladly tell you. For he is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask him. He will not resent it. Verse 6, but when you ask him, be sure that you really expect him to tell you. For a doubtful mind will be as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. And every decision you then make will be uncertain as you turn first this way and then that. If you don't ask with faith, don't expect the Lord to give you any solid answer. I'm told that more than 150,000 people throughout the earth die every 24 hours, day after day, day after day, and year after year. This tells me that there are people who are moving out of this earth, and they're doing it rapidly. All of us realize that we face a spiritual conflict. The spiritual conflict in which we find ourselves is becoming more intensified every single day. And because of this fact, it is essential that we have in our souls that which is necessary to be victorious. We must think right. We must have the proper thinking in order to fulfill God's plan. So many people have thinking that is divorced from reality. We must have God's Word, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ, spiritual food residing in our souls. We must not be doubting. When we looked at these verses, verses 5, 6, and 7, we found some interesting things. We found that doubt is to be uncertain in relationship to God. We've discovered that doubt means that we distance ourselves from God. To doubt brings despair. When I looked at these verses, I was aware of the fact that it is unique to see how the various verses are used. We're going to be looking for just a moment at verse 5. If you'll remember, and we exegeted this verse and put it on the back of your bulletin, verse 5 says, if any one of you wants wisdom, let him ask of God, the one giving to all men unreservedly and not reproachingly, and it will be given to him. I'm looking at the bulletin just a few weeks ago when we had James 1:5 on it. I'll come back to that verse in a moment to remind you what it says. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. One doubting is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind and being tossed. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For the one doubting is like a wave of the sea being driven by wind and being tossed. And then our verse of scripture for tonight again. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Now I need to tell you that when I look back at verse 5, I found the word ask. If any one of you wants wisdom, desires wisdom, let him ask of God. You might want to write this down if you haven't already done so. That particular verb there, ask, is a present active imperative verb. It's a command to ask. In other words, God desires that every person who is born into God's kingdom desire wisdom, and that he ask of God. The scripture then says, the one giving to all men unreservedly, not slapping his hand, so to speak, and it will be given to him. When I looked at verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. I noticed there that the word doubting is the present middle participle. It's interesting to see how the word is used, present middle participle. So we have an emphasis there upon the subject participating in the action. And if it's negative, the subject is not benefited. If it's positive, the subject is benefited. Then when we go to our verse of scripture, we see, for let not that man suppose. The verb there is H-O-I-M-O, AIHOIOMAI. And the interesting thing there is that that particular verb is, again, a present middle imperative verb. What this verse is telling us is that doubting that has been presented in the previous verse is a picture of a man that is divided. It's a picture of a man being torn in several different directions. It's amazing to me to be able to see the difference in the tenses. The present tense denotes that this halting between two opinions has become habitual. And I want to pause there to let you see what I just said. The present tense denotes that the halting between two opinions has become habitual. When you look at this from the middle voice, it indicates that the conflict is rooted in personal desires, which is saying that the individual who has gotten into that kind of position is not at rest in himself. There is an inner moral conflict. The person is divided between the desire to say yes to his request and the desire to say no to the request, with the inclination to say no gaining the upper hand. Have you ever felt that way as you were asking God to forgive you about some particular disobedience, and then you found yourself involved again in that same disobedience, and you concluded that the disobedience was getting the upper hand? I'm trying to let you see how powerful these verses are in the way that they're used in the various tenses. When you go to the Old Testament, you'll find that Elijah gives us a picture of doubting in his address to the Israelites, whose sin was not that of totally rejecting God, but of seeking to combine worship of God with worship of Baal. And that's what's happening today. There are many people who are desiring to so-called worship God, at the same time worship Baal. So Elijah came near to all these people and he said, "How long will you hesitate?" The King James says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the scripture says in 1 Kings 18:21, the people did not answer him a word. Now, I want you to get the mental picture of what's taking place in 1 Kings chapter 18. Elijah came near to these people and he said to them, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" You are hesitating between two opinions. If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You'll notice what I said just a moment ago when Elijah gives us a picture of the doubting in his address to the Israelites, whose sin was not that of totally rejecting God, but of seeking to combine his worship, the worship of God, and the worship of Baal. That is thinking that is divorced from reality. And we have a lot of thinking that is divorced from reality today. When I look at this passage of Scripture, it says, "For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord." Now, I want to do this because I've already done it, but I feel it's necessary to recapitulate. When you see in this verse the little word may, M-E, at the very beginning, I underlined it for you the other day. And then you see the next word, which is G-A-R, gar, which is the word far. Gar is what is known as a post-positive conjunctive particle, which means that it is used second in the sentence, but it is translated first in the translation. And so what we have here then is an emphasis upon far. Let not any man, any woman, any boy or girl suppose that he will receive or she will receive anything from the Lord if that person is doubting. To doubt is to be uncertain about God. To doubt is to be at distance from God. To doubt means to bring eventually despair. The doubting here is based upon feeling, subjectivity, not upon objectivity. It's based upon a thinking that is divorced from reality. I want you to see it. I'm able to see it, and I want to share what I'm seeing. For let not that person suppose. The negative may, with the present active imperative, says in reality, stop doing something you're already doing. Stop entertaining any thought that you're going to receive an answer from God when you don't even believe God. Stop entertaining any thought of receiving an answer from God when you are not properly related to God. Now let's look for just a moment at the word suppose. For let not that man suppose. The word suppose means to presume, to expect, to assume, to imagine, to think, to suppose, to expect, presume. See all those different synonyms I've given you? This is a command. And please notice that this is a present middle imperative verb. What does the middle imperative mean? The middle voice says the subject participates in the action and is normally benefited thereby. If it's negative, the subject participates in the action and is not benefited thereby. This is saying if you're basing your life on your feelings, subjectivity, and not upon objective thinking, upon a thinking that is divorced from reality, you can put it down. It's a command. You're to stop doing that. Stop entertaining any thought of receiving an answer from God when you are in a position of continual doubting. We're living in a time of spiritual conflict. We find ourselves in a time when that conflict, as I've already said tonight, is becoming more intensified day by day. It is essential then that we have in our souls that which is necessary to advance and to think properly and to be victorious in life. We must have truth in our souls. We must have the thinking of God residing inside of us. We must have spiritual fuel, spiritual food. So let me give you 10 points. This will be easy for you tonight. Number one, truth is the content of the Word of God. Truth is the content of the Word of God. In other words, we receive that truth by teaching, by instructions. Spiritual truth is the result of the communication of Bible subjects, historically, exegetically, categorically. We've said this thousands of times over the last 35 or 40 years or more. We study the Bible that way. We studied it historically, categorically, exegetically. What does that mean? It means that we look at a passage of Scripture and we try to find what it says from a historical background standpoint. When we begin a book, we look at that book from the standpoint of its historical setting. We look not only at that book from the standpoint of the historical aspect, but we look at it from the standpoint of the categories. That's what we do over and over again. When we get into a verse, we look at it and we look for various categories of study. We exegete. What does that mean? It means that we do what we're doing now. We take each word and we see what it is. We look at nouns and adjectives and particles and articles and adverbs, and we look at adjectives and we look at verbs and participles. Oh my, we look at all of these things. And we take each word and we try to tear it up. This is what I do during the week. While you're not anywhere around, I'm analyzing the verse word by word, analyzing it from the original text. That's my responsibility. And I don't tell you everything. Why should I? That isn't necessary. Some of you think I tell you everything about the Greek, but I don't. I really don't. I see a lot of things that I could tell you and that I don't tell you. But I'm telling you some of the things. We look at a book. We try to determine the historical background. We look at it exegetically. We look at it categorically. So that's what we do. And that's the content of the Word of God that is communicated by teaching and instruction. Number two, truth pre-existed the human race. Truth pre-existed the human race. What am I saying there? The Word of God was in existence, but not condensed to writing in the ages past. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to turn to a passage of Scripture, but I'm giving you time to write this down. Truth pre-existed the human race. The Word of God was in existence, but not condensed to writing in the ages past. We find this in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to ask you, please, to go now to Proverbs chapter 8. This is an amazing passage of Scripture. We're going to be looking at Proverbs chapter 8, and we're going to be going down through verse 13. I'll give you time to find it. Proverbs 8, verses 1 through 13. Can't you hear the voice of wisdom? Can't you hear the voice of wisdom? She is standing at the city gates and at every fork in the road and at the door of every house. This is Proverbs chapter 8. I want you to see the availability of wisdom. May I ask a question and you answer it inside? What is wisdom? Wisdom is the word sophos or sophia. It is actually the word which means the application of knowledge, the utilization and application of truth. Proverbs 8, verse 1, again, can't you hear the voice of wisdom? She is standing at the city gates and at every fork in the road and at the door of every house. Listen to what she says. Listen, men, she calls, how foolish and naive you are. Let me give you understanding. Let me give you understanding. O foolish ones, let me show you common sense. All of us here tonight desire understanding. We desire common sense. Now verse 7. Listen to me. For I have important information for you. Everything I say is right and true. For I hate lies and every kind of deception. Verse 8. My advice is wholesome and good. There is nothing of evil in it. Verse 9. Proverbs 8, verse 9. My words are plain and clear to anyone with half a mind. I thought that was interesting. Now I know that you have more than a half of a mind. But I thought it was interesting that this particular translation did it that way. My words are plain and clear to anyone with half a mind, if it is only open. My instruction, verse 10, is far more valuable than silver or gold. This is telling us the importance of having truth, God's Word. My instruction, verse 10 of Proverbs 8, is far more valuable than silver or gold. For the value of wisdom is far above rubies. Nothing can be compared with it. Verse 12, wisdom and good judgment live together. You ought to write that one down. Wisdom and good judgment live together. For wisdom knows where to discover knowledge and understanding. Now, I could spend the rest of the night talking about that particular verse. I'll just come back and reiterate it in a few moments. Verse 13, though. If anyone respects and fears God, he will despise evil. For wisdom hates pride, arrogance, corruption, and deceit of every kind. This is a unique passage of Scripture. It is telling us that the Word of God is so powerful and so important. It is telling us that spiritual truth pre-existed the human race, and the Word of God was in existence but not condensed to writing in the ages past. Proverbs 8, 1-13. I look back again in verse 12. Wisdom and good judgment live together. Wisdom knows where to discover knowledge and knows where to discover understanding. Number 3. Our attitude toward truth determines whether we are blessed or disciplined. Our attitude toward truth determines whether we are blessed or disciplined. I find that in Proverbs 8, 32-36. So I'm going back to that same passage of Scripture and go down to verse 32. So, young men, listen to me. For how happy are all who follow my instructions. Proverbs 8:33. Listen to my counsel. Oh, don't refuse it. And be wise. Verse 34 of Proverbs chapter 8. Happy is the man who is so anxious to be with me that he watches for me daily at my gates, or waits for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and wins approval from the Lord. But the one who misses me has injured himself irreparably. Those who refuse me show that they love the sin unto death. Well, I could spend more time there, but I hope you'll just underline those verses. Number 3 again, our attitude toward truth determines whether we will be blessed or cursed, disciplined. Number 4, truth is the basis for the distribution of God's grace blessings while we're here on the earth. Truth is the basis for the distribution of God's grace blessings while we're here on the earth. The prophet Isaiah tells us about that in chapter 53, verse 12. Now, do you remember many years ago when we talked about the fact that as we advance spiritually, one day we will get to the point which we call the echo zone? It's been a long time since I even mentioned that. The word echo is the word which means to have and to hold. To have and to hold. And I always give you the illustration when I think of this. We went to the state fair some years ago. We got in this machine that whirled around centrifugal force, and it pinned you against the wall. And as you moved around rapidly and continued to move around rapidly, the floor would drop out from under you. Now, some of you have been there, have had that experience. And with the centrifugal force, you stayed right against the wall, even though the floor had dropped out below. And as the thing began to slow down, you could see that some people across the way began to slide just a little bit, especially the little heavier ones. But the floor was right there to meet them, so they didn't have to slide very far. Centrifugal force. The word echo means to have and to hold. In other words, that is expressed beautifully by that centrifugal force in that particular state fair experience. When you and I travel God's highway, we get off of the rough roads that lead to difficulties and burdens and trials and tests, and we get out on the expressway and we travel rapidly. And we travel and we travel and we travel over a period of time. we get to a point where we have and hold, it means that we are advanced spiritually. And even when we face the problems and difficulties of life, and it seems like the whole world is falling out from under us, we're still carried away with that centrifugal force, and we're still moving along without falling. Echo. I believe that is described for us in Isaiah 53:12. Truth in the soul is the basis for the distribution of echo zone blessings in time. Isaiah 53:12. Number five. Truth also in the soul is the basis for the distribution of heaven's grace blessings. In other words, there are not only blessings that await us here, but there are blessings that await us in eternity. Would you look with me at James 1, verse 25? An interesting verse. We'll get to it one of these days. It says, "But if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's law for free men, he will not only remember it, but he will do what it says, and God will greatly bless him in everything he does." Now, I don't want you to miss this. We've had a hard day, haven't we? It's been hot. We're tired. I understand, because that same thing's true with me. And it does seem a little warmer in here. Maybe it's just because I'm hot. But I tried to get it cool enough for you, and I hope you're comfortable. It could be cooler for me, but I could take off this coat, but I don't know why it is, but I have a respect for the pulpit that calls me to wear a coat here. And so you'll just have to understand that that's my feeling, and so I'm willing to sweat here with a coat on. But I don't want you to be uncomfortable. But I do want you to see verse 25. It says, if anyone keeps looking steadily into God's truth, he will not only remember it, but he will do what it says, and God will greatly bless him in everything he does. How fantastic that verse is. James 1:25. Now, if you will, go over to James chapter 2, and let's look at verses 12 and 13. You will be judged on whether or not you're doing what Christ wants you to do. So watch what you do and watch what you think. Now let me stop you and tell you that we're thinking about the subject, thinking that is divorced from reality. We're thinking about thinking that is objective and that will be a blessing to us. This says, watch what you do and watch what you think. For there will be no mercy to those who have shown no mercy. But if you have been merciful, then God's mercy toward you will win out over his judgment against you. In other words, this says that God has grace blessings for us in time and in eternity. Number six, truth in the soul of the believer who's advanced is actually more real than empirical knowledge. Now, I'm going to give you time to write that down. Truth in the soul of the advanced believer is more real than empirical knowledge. In other words, when the conflict is evident between what you think and feel and what the Bible teaches, you always realize that the Bible is what you are to accept. The Bible is right. Now, the scripture that we have here is 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading in just a moment, but let me ask you to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to begin our reading with verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12. I plan to keep on reminding you of these things, even though you already know them and are ready getting along quite well. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, now verse 13. But the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me that my days here on earth are numbered, and I'm soon to die. As long as I'm still here, I intend to keep sending these reminders to you, hoping to impress them so clearly upon you that you will remember them long after I'm gone. Well, I thought about this. You know, I'm here today and may be here tomorrow and may not be. You're here today and you may be here tomorrow and may not be. But my concern is that if and when that time comes that I'm gone, that you will not necessarily remember me, but that you will remember what is being presented right here. If you notice what is said, as long as I'm still here, I intend to keep sending these reminders to you, hoping to impress them so clearly upon you that you will remember them long after I have gone. I think that's a beautiful statement. For we have not been telling you fairy tales when we explain to you the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and His coming again. My own eyes have seen His splendor and His glory. I was there on the holy mountain when He shone out with honor giving Him by God His Father. I heard that glorious majestic voice calling down from heaven saying, "This is my much beloved Son. I'm well pleased with Him." 2 Peter chapter 1, now verse 19. So we have seen and proved that what the prophets said came true. You will do well to pay close attention to everything they have written. For like light shining into dark corners, their words help us to understand many things that otherwise would be dark and difficult. But when you consider the wonderful truth of the prophets' words, then the light will dawn in your souls. And Christ, the morning star, will shine in your hearts. For no prophecy recorded in Scripture was ever thought up by the prophet himself. It was the Holy Spirit within these godly men who gave them true messages from God. Oh, I want you to know that you ought to read and reread that passage of Scripture over and over and over again, because it tells us that when there is truth in the soul of the advanced believer, that truth in the soul is more real than any empirical knowledge. 2 Peter 1, 12 to 21. I repeat this statement: when the conflict is evident between what you think and feel and what the Bible teaches, the Bible is always right. In other words, we should not have our thinking divorced from reality. Number 7. Lack of truth destroys a nation. Lack of truth destroys a nation. I'm going to ask you to go with me to Hosea chapter 4. I've already marked it so I can get there rapidly. But please turn to Hosea chapter 4. We're going to read the first 6 verses. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has filed a lawsuit against you, listing the following charges. There is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. That's a sad plight, isn't it? Have you found it? Hosea chapter 4. The Lord has filed a lawsuit against you, listing the following charges. There is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You swear and lie and kill and steal and commit adultery. There is violence everywhere, with one murder after another. That is why your land is not producing. It is filled with sadness. And all living things grow sick and die. The animals, the birds, and even the fish begin to disappear. Don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame to him. Look, priest, I'm pointing my finger at you as a sentence for your crimes. You, priest, will stumble in broad daylight as well as in the night. And so will your false prophets too. And I will destroy your mother Israel. And then look at verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I'll read it again in a different translation. My people are destroyed because they don't know me. And it is all your fault, you priests. For you yourselves refuse to know me. Therefore I refuse to recognize you as my priest. Since you have forgotten my laws, I will forget to bless your children. What a tragic thing to say about spiritual leaders, so-called spiritual leaders. Number 7. Lack of truth destroys a nation. Hosea 4, 1-6. Point 8. Truth in the soul brings capacity for life. Truth in the soul brings capacity for life. What God has given us is so fantastic. We have the completed canon of Scripture. We have this wonderful church, a meeting place. We have this textbook, the Bible. We have the filling of the Holy Spirit. We have the communication of the Word of God. We're blessed. Spiritual truths make living possible with a great capacity. And God has provided us everything we need. God's plan is so fantastic and wonderful. Two more points. Number 9. God desires that we think properly and that our thinking not be divorced from reality. It is God's plan then, point 9, that we have a balanced soul. Balanced soul. Now, I don't want you to think too much about this, but I do want you to realize that as you came into the church tonight, you came in 1 foot down, 1 foot up, 1 foot down, 1 foot up. That's the way you walked into this auditorium tonight. Now, be aware of the fact that if you were standing just on 1 foot with the other foot lifted, you might not be able to stand there very long until you would become out of balance. What am I saying? You walked into this church tonight one step at a time because you were balanced. That's the way God's plan is for us as believers. One step at a time. Consistently moving forward. So that we can have a balanced soul. The scripture says in Hebrews 10:25, stop neglecting the assembling of yourselves. That's what we're here to do again tonight. Stop neglecting the assembling of yourselves. And in Hebrews 10:36 it says, don't throw away confidence in truth, which confidence keeps having rich distribution of blessings. In other words, keep walking, keep moving forward, keep advancing. And then point 10, the last one. If we're going to be what we ought to be, if our thinking is proper, if our thinking is not divorced from reality, then we're going to have to be saturated with truth. When we're saturated with truth, number 10, there will be fantastic results. Write the word results down. I'll not have time to discuss all of these. I just want to mention, the first thing you're going to have is confidence. The results of truth is confidence. In other words, you will be able to have joy, peace in your soul. Confidence. Job 5:24. The second thing you will have is vertical thinking. Vertical thinking. The third thing you'll have is an understanding of God's will for your life. An understanding of God's will for your life. I hope you're able to get these. The fourth thing you will have is stability. Stability of your mind. The fifth thing you will have is the ability to execute God's plan for your life. The ability to execute God's plan for your life. And six, you will have fantastic blessings. Please, please, my friends, as we leave James 1:7, be aware of the fact that we are to stop entertaining any thought of receiving anything from God when we find ourselves doubting. We're not to be doubting. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you so much tonight for your grace and blessings, for the challenge that we have to think properly and not have our thinking divorced from reality. The only way we'll be able to think properly is to think and utilize the truth of God's Word. We know that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We are to hide your words in our hearts that we might not be in disobedience to your plan. We thank you so much that you provided everything that we need that we can have a fruitful, victorious, triumphant, abundant life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Serious, but he just had fever. I appreciate it. I'll put it back in my files.
I'm going to go ahead and do it now.